to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Oh my, what an honor. What a privilege to actually be here to give this talk for my home community today. And so thank you, Felicia, for those amazing selections that you chose. And I took your advice and like let my feelings like get all into it. So I'm wiping tears. So I can remember when I was growing up and I'd want to cry and my grandmother would say, just cry. It's okay, just cry. And how many of you have been in a situation where you're wanting to cry and someone asks you, why are you crying? Or what are you crying for? And it's generally not in a way that says, I want to know how you feel, or I want to know what the problem is. It's more about, get yourself together. Stop being weak. Like, why are you crying? You know, and my grandmother was kind enough to say, crying is when you have no words to add to your feelings. And so just keep crying. Whenever you feel that you want to cry, it's okay, just cry. And if someone asks you the question, why are you crying? Say, because my grandmother told me I could. And so I just cry. And so Kirk Franklin has a song that's titled Why We Sing. And there's a line in that song that says, people ask us, or people wonder why we cry, and we have no reason. I have no reason. I just want to cry because I want to cry, and that's okay. And then there are times when crying, my tears are kind of that inspiration, that motivation to move me, to propel me forward, because I find that I am okay with whatever is happening in my life. I am okay, and I make it all okay until I cry. And then it's no longer okay. And so then I have to ask myself, why are you crying? Really? And what are you going to do about it? Because that's what's most important. Because when I start to cry, then I feel like I'm at my wit's end, that I really need to do something. And so I can remember the first time I cried, these tears of release and being open and receptive was soon after my mother died. My mother died when I was a teenager, and I had the pleasure of getting to know my father, and I decided that I didn't like him very much. So, because I decided that I didn't like him very much, now mind you, my father was dying, and he had been for the first 15 years of my life. I had just been spending more time with my mother than with him. And so I decided, you are not my mother, so I'm not going to like you. And so I started to cry. And when I started to cry, I decided I needed to make a change. And so I packed up my bags and I ran away from home. And I moved in with my grandmother. My grandmother never asked me why I was there or why I didn't like my father. She just said, come. Are you crying? And I said, no, I'm not. I'm done crying now because I'm home. Because, you know, it's like I realize that when I'm in that space where I need to make a decision, I'm trying to find my way closer to home. And so then I decided, okay, I'm going to move in with my grandmother. And my grandmother, my grandmother's thing was, I was always a child. I never outgrew that. I think my grandmother died when I was in my 30s. I was still a child. And my grandmother would say to people, just let her be. She's just a child. Like, it didn't matter what I did. it's okay, she's just a child. And some of my aunts and uncles would get so upset with her. She's not a child, she's an adult. She says, no, she's just a child. Just let her be. And when she wants to cry, make space for her so that she can cry, because that's what she needs to do to move forward. And so I grew up in my, you know, early years, my teenage years, because when I moved in with my grandmother, I was 16. So in my teenage years, she taught me that it was okay to feel whatever I was feeling, and that I didn't have to explain or to justify why I was feeling the way that I was feeling. And so if you need to cry, baby, sit right here and cry. And once you're done crying, then we'll do whatever it is that you need to do. But for a moment, I need you to just sit here and cry. And for a long time, I couldn't understand why she always said, just cry. Like, why? Why do I have to sit here and cry? I don't want to cry today. I just want to do something. And then I realized that when I cried, I could just be in that moment, in those feelings. I could just rest in that and know that when I was done, it would be okay. You know, that I could just cry and I didn't have to explain myself. And so then I move on with my life, because of course life with grandma is always beautiful. And I can remember her just being so supportive in whatever I was doing and just reminding me that I was always home. Like, no matter what was going on in my life, just know that I could always come home. And it wasn't even a physical place. It was home within. It was sit with yourself and cry your tears and remember that you are always home. There's nowhere you need to go. There's no one you need to talk to. Like, no one's going to understand your tears. So why are you going to try to explain it to them? That was hard. Like, why won't they understand? I'm telling them why I'm crying. I'm telling them why I feel this way. And she says, but it's yours to feel. It's not theirs. And as much as they love you and as much as, you know, they may want to help you move through this, it's yours. So you get to do this all by your little old self. So then I go on with my life and I get married. I was, 19, 20 or something like that. What did I know about marriage? What did I know about life? Nothing. Nothing at all. But I did it anyway. And the joy is I have this amazing daughter, like amazing. And she actually is up in the middle of the night watching. So thank you, Mallie. but I realized that as good as he was not the one for me. And that was okay. But again, I cried. And I cried. And my grandmother says, oh, baby, just cry. And at this point, I don't want to cry anymore. I just want to move on, Grandma. I've made a decision. I just want to move on. And she says, no, it's not time, just cry. And I was like, oh, I don't want to cry. So I cried probably for a week. I cried. Now, mind you, I made this decision, so why was I crying? I decided that this is what I wanted to do. So I had this wonderful conversation with one of my aunts, and she says, are you still crying? And I said, yes, I'm still crying. She says, go get him. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. And she says, if you're still crying, you're not done. Oh, really? What does one have to do? I'm crying to get it out of my system. And she says, no, baby, it doesn't work that way. You're not done. When you're done, you'll stop crying. Don't you know that already? Oh, no, I forgot that part. Okay, so I go get him. Because that's what my auntie told me. She told me, go get him. So I went and got him. And so we're living our lives. And one day I decide, oh, I don't want to do this. Really, I don't. And he says, Okay, you need to make up your mind because we're going or we're coming or we're coming or we're going. I says, oh, okay, we're going. I don't want to do this anymore. And I did not shed one tear. Not one tear. And so I called my auntie and I said, I'm not crying anymore. She says, I know, because you haven't called me. Like, you cry until you're ready to move on. Baby, you were ready to move on. You were not ready to move on when I spoke to you last month and you have been crying for a week and you're trying to talk to me on the phone and you can't talk because you're crying. Like, you weren't ready. But I was, no, you weren't. You weren't ready. And so how often do we say, oh, I'm ready. I'm ready for this change. I'm ready for this new job. I'm ready to move to a new country, a new state, or whatever. When the reality is we're not ready. You know, because we decide with our head that this is what we want to do, and our heart, we're still crying. You know? But for some reason, we don't want to let the tears flow down our face. We just, and I think that letting the tears flow down our face is when I get the message. Like when I really get the message that a change needs to happen. And so, what am I gonna do? Am I gonna make a change or am I gonna just keep crying? And I cry until I decide. Because the good thing is, I don't have to make that decision. The universe has already decided for me, and I'm crying. I'm thinking sometimes because I don't want to do what it wants me to do. And I know it's for the best, but I just don't want to do that. And I'm going to tell you a story about a dear friend of mine who says, I'm coming to visit you on Wednesday. Oh, I was supposed to be coming on Thursday. It's okay, I'm coming on Wednesday. Okay, no worries. Come on Wednesday. And then I get a call, I changed it. I'm coming on Thursday because I'm supposed to come on Thursday. No, you're supposed to come on Wednesday. So then they get a call from the airlines to say, either you're leaving on Wednesday or you're not leaving at all because we're closing the airports. Oh, I'm coming on Wednesday. Like, we already knew that. The universe already knows what we are to do. And sometimes we just want to say, but that's not what I want to do right now. You know, and the universe says, okay, if that's not what you want to do, what do you want to do? And then it comes back and says, that's not what you were supposed to do. And so how often do we get in that space where we are not sure what we're supposed to do? We're just like going along, following the motions. Like there's a song, I think, that says the motion of the ocean. We're just going along with the plan and we're giving it no thought and we're just kind of doing it. And then all of a sudden we decide, oh, wait a minute, that's not what I want to do. But we're going along so beautifully. And sometimes it means that we just have to stop and say, wow, these tears in my heart, they need to come out. I need to figure out what it is that I'm supposed to do and what it is that I want to do, not what someone wants me to do, but what I want to do. Because I have spent a lot of time in my life doing what other people want me to do and totally disregarding my thoughts and my feelings because it's more important for someone else to be happy. Where did we get that crazy idea? Where did we get that, you know, it's our job to make someone else happy, to dry their tears when we have tears of our own, you know? And so it's my job, it's your job to take care of you. It's my job to take care of me. And when I am taking care of me and I am letting my tears flow and I am letting all of those emotions go through me that are just screaming to come out, then I sit and I cry. And I say, okay, I know that when these tears are over, then I can move on with my life. And one of the other things too that I recognize is that it's about judgment, you know, and it's about releasing the judgment that I can't cry or that I can't be confused or I can't be uncertain, because we can all be confused and uncertain at one time or another, or because of one situation or another. And I think for me, it is when I decide that I want to hold on tight, that I want to not let go, that I feel the anxiety creeping in, when I can just take a step back and say, okay, this is not what I want to do. I just want to breathe through this, you know, and see how I can let my tears flow in a different kind of way that propels me to move forward, to do things a little differently. And how do I let my tears flow in a different kind of way? I breathe. And I sing. And I dance. And I let all of that energy just flow, however it wants to flow. Because I remember my grandmother, who used to say, quote the Bible, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And so for me, the weeping in the night is the same as my tears. You know, when my tears are flowing, then it's preparing me for the morning when everything is all right. And that morning could be the morning when I wake up, or it could be next month. You know, but when that joy comes, then I'm already prepared for it, because I have cleansed my soul, I have shed my tears, and I am knowing that whatever comes next, the universe has already prepared me for it. Before I even started to shed the tears, I believe that those tears flow for me so the universe can say, you're ready now. I've known you were ready. But now you're really ready, and so now you can make a move. So I can remember I moved to South Carolina. I'm originally from South Carolina, from Charleston. And I moved back when I was in my late 20s. And it was different because when I left, 5 days after I graduated from high school, I was a child. But when I came back 10, 11 years later, I'm an adult. But no one saw that. They saw the person that left 5 days after graduation. And I found myself being in this tug of war with, I'm an adult. Oh no, you're a child. No, I'm an adult, because even my grandmother, oh, she's just a child, let her be, let her do. No, grandma, I'm an adult now, I really am, you know. But it's like, you know, in that space where I had been living my life and doing my thing and enjoying myself. And then I come home and now I'm a child again. And, you know, I can remember one incident where I go to pick up my daughter from school, and she's not a happy camper. And so I'm like, okay, what's wrong, honey? What happened? And she says, Auntie came to pick me up from school. Oh, really? And she said, yes. And I said, and what happened? And she said, she didn't know the password. And I said, oh, because she didn't tell me she was gonna pick you up from school. And that's why she didn't know the password. Well, she pretty much created a scene in the office because my daughter wouldn't go with her, you know? And she's like, oh, just come. We don't need a password. You know who I am. Just come, just come. And so the school called me, and I said, no, she's not, you know, she's not to go with her. And so she was livid. She was livid, and I thought, Auntie, like, we are to protect her at all cost. And we're not used to living near family. Like, we're not used to people just deciding that they're just going to go pick her up from school. Like, why would you do that anyway? Why wouldn't you tell me that you're going to, excuse me, why wouldn't you tell me that you're going to pick her up from school? I didn't think I needed to tell you that. Really? Like, so I would go to the school and I would pick her up and she's not there. And she says, well, you had to know that one of us would have gotten her. No, I wouldn't. Like, I wouldn't have known that. And so it was hard for them to accept that we had been living away from them for all of her life. And so she didn't know the thing about, oh, Auntie decides she's going to come pick you up today and take you shopping or do whatever. And she wasn't aware of that. And so when I got there, of course, her feelings hurt. Like, this is her favorite auntie, and I have to tell her no, that I can't go with her, and I can't really explain to her in my 9-year-old mind and vocabulary why it's imperative that I not go with her. And so I cried. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, but that's okay. I'm glad you cried, and I'm glad you stayed here, you know, because we can't have that if someone else comes and say, oh, but I'm your uncle or I'm your cousin and why won't you go with me? Like, that's not how we, you know, that's not how we want to operate. And so I saw my auntie later and we cried. Mm-hmm. We cried because she didn't understand where I was coming from. I cried because she didn't really want to understand where we were coming from. Because in her mind, I am doing something for you, and you are not grateful. And yes, you are doing something for me when you tell me, I want to go pick up your daughter from school and take her shopping or take her to the movies. That's when you're doing something for me, because we are not used to that, and I would have called the police if I went to pick up my daughter and she wasn't there. Like, I would have done that. She says, you wouldn't have called me first? No, I wouldn't have. I would have called the police. So let's not do that anymore. You know, because, like, it's about having the conversations that don't always require tears. You know, because I can remember I moved to Baltimore in 1994, 1995, I think. And I can remember getting a phone call from a friend of mine. And we had been in Japan together. We had been in California together. And so, you know, now I'm in South Carolina and she's in Baltimore because we both decided we were going home. So she calls me up one day and I was crying. I was boo-hooing. And she says, sis, why are you crying? And I said, it's just life and things and whatever. And she says, it's time for you to go. And I says, where am I going? And she says, you're coming to Baltimore. And I was like, no, I'm not coming to Baltimore. I don't know anything about Baltimore. And she's like, I'm here. You're coming here. Oh, no, I don't think I want to do that. And so she now, even to this day, we talk every few months, every few months. She calls me the next day. Are you packed? No, I'm not. We're not going. So, like, she called me every day. Like, when are you packing? She's like, sis, I have never known you to cry. Never. So when I call you and you're crying, then it tells me that something has to change. So am I coming to get you, or are you coming to Baltimore? So we came to Baltimore for the summer, and I ended up spending 23 years there. But those tears propelled me. They told me that as much as you love your family and as much as you love everything here and you know, and your daughter getting to know the family, like, this is not the place for you right now. And so it's time for you to move on and do something different. And I can remember one of my aunts saying to me, which was hilarious then and is hilarious now, If you can't make it at home, you can't make it anywhere, baby. What? Who came up with that story? Like, Auntie, that's not true. There's no truth in that. She's like, no, baby, because when you're home, you have support. You have the people. Like, I have support wherever I go. Like, yeah, wherever I go, I'm good, right? So, yeah, so then, you know, what I feel like is that when I release all judgment of myself and the situations and life itself, I can have a good cry and make a better decision. You know, that's what I found for me. There's this, like, on Sundays, my grandmother, I grew up AME, African Methodist Episcopal. That's how I grew up. And although not too long before, well, maybe 10, 15 years before my mom died, she switched to Baptist. So I say all that to say, every Sunday morning, even when I come to church here, when I listen to it online, I start my day by listening to some good gospel music. And I listen to gospel music most Sundays, all day. I listen to gospel music because it just reminds me of home. And so as I was thinking about this last Sunday, the song came on the radio by Ty Trabet that says, I Made It Through. And it says, so many nights I had to cry, so many storm clouds I lost sight. I felt like giving up the fight. Never thought I would see daylight, but I did. I made it through. If you see me cry, it's just a sign that I am still alive in spite of it all. So now, if you will join me in this breath. So in this moment, as I recognize the oneness and allness of God, I breathe. As I recognize God living in, as, and through each and every one of us, I breathe. I am grateful. I am grateful for this opportunity to be here this morning. I am grateful for the opportunity to be a part of this awesome and amazing community that loves and supports me and everyone in it. I am grateful. I am grateful for the volunteers that showed up today to make this gathering perfect. I'm grateful for the music, oh my Lord, the music that touched my soul in such a beautiful way. I am grateful. I am grateful for the reading. I am grateful for Mindy saying yes. I am grateful for Rebecca with that beautiful spiritual practice. And I am knowing that we are home and that our journey is flowing with ease and grace every step, every moment, and every experience. And I breathe in that gratefulness, that gratitude, that wholeness, that completeness, that is me, that is you, that is this community. I release this prayer knowing that we are releasing our anguish and just embracing the joy that the tears bring to us, the joy that the journey home brings for us. I am grateful for it all. And I release this knowing that it is already done. It is already perfect, whole, and complete for each and every one of us, because if it is for one, it is for all. And together we say, and so it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.